This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. The country we now call Australia was built on the stolen lands of hundreds of unique Indigenous nations, and we recognise that as white women, we continue to partake in and benefit from the act of colonisation. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Books love.
Welcome to Book Slut, a podcast bringing erotica out of the gutter and into a snobbier gutter. Hi, my name is Abby.
And I'm Sam. It should go without saying that this podcast is not safe for work, so put your headphones in.
Ready? Okay.
Hi, Abby. How are you going?
I'm pretty good. Ate a lot of food. Feel a little sick.
Mm-mm.
Average day.
Lockdown life. So, this fortnight I read Leg Lover
Denier.
By L.G. Denier, which is a funny joke.
For those of you who have not had an occasion to buy stockings, it is the, what is it, like the thread count?
It's like the thickness.
Yeah.
So the lower the denier,
the sexier the stocking.
Sexier the stocking, exactly. So this is a story of leg and foot fetishism. And on the front here it says, publisher's warning, adults only.
Oh.
Just in case the cover didn't give it away.
I mean, again, the more we read, the more struck I am by like, how they could also be a murder mystery.
Oh, yeah. She definitely could be murdering.
Murdered.
I thought she was doing some murder.
I mean,
sexy murder. We really have to read some crime ads. So this book came into my life from my partner, actually. They bought
it.
Who's
real into feet. It's a hint.
They're not. But, oh, well. I don't know.
Yeah, wow.
So they bought it from Savers and went through the whole ordeal of being like, well, it's not for me. And the shop people being like, mm-hmm. So what is it? A love language? Buying each other
shitty
books?
I don't get, I actually was looking at love languages recently and I don't get them. Like, isn't everybody all of them?
I think so, but I think the idea is that you have like a tendency towards one or a couple, like more so than other ones. Right. But I also like, I want gifts. I want words of affirmation.
Yeah. I want touch. I want all of
quality time.
I'm just
why
a
are you making
needy,
me choose?
Needy asshole.
So today we're going to talk about fetish, I guess, specifically leg and foot fetishism.
Yeah, it's actually the first fetish that we've kind of delved into.
Yeah.
And so I looked at some definitions.
Yeah, which I think is helpful because I think it oftenly gets confused with kink. So I think it's important to make that.
Oftenly isn't a word it should be. That was an incredibly useful placement of it. Yeah, exactly. And so all of the legitimate dictionaries, by which I mean Oxford, Merriam-Webster, Cambridge.
I'm glad that we have you on the record saying which dictionaries you think.
Oh, and
more.
Macquarie. Macquarie is also a good one. Had a certain kind of definition, but then outside of those, I found I was a little like, it's an interesting point about the way we define something and the language that we use for it, because some of the definitions used words like abnormal and pathology and things like that, which just kind of really struck me as quite judgy language when you're looking at what should be a kind of objective definition of something.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. When you turn to a dictionary, you're not looking for an opinion.
Yeah, exactly. But the fact that like, to a lot of people, it isn't an opinion.
Yeah. Right?
That a fetish is abnormal or outside of the normal is quite interesting to me. But, and then the other thing that I found was I didn't know that the actual word fetish comes from religion.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really
magical
interesting.
Magical objects or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah. So an object believed to have magical power to protect or aid its owner is like the original
sexy powers.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
But it's, you think about it, like something like flagellation, for instance, which can be a fetish, was quite big in the Catholic Church. So
yeah, I'm sure that in the Venn diagram, there's probably a lot of overlap.
A crossover.
So I guess for like people who aren't aware of the difference between fetish and kink, generally speaking, kink is used more as an umbrella term. And it can be, I mean, it can include all kinds of different things. And there can be an overlap between that and fetishes. But from what I understand, the point of difference is this idea of like necessity. Yep. Whether you just enjoy a kink, it may add a level of enjoyment to your sexual experience. It may be something you dip in and out of. Whereas a fetish is something that more often people require or almost always require to be able to be aroused.
Yeah, so the definition that I have is an object or bodily part whose real or fantasized presence is psychologically necessary for sexual gratification.
Yeah, I think that like there is a really important distinction between like fantasizing about something or something turning you on and it being a full-blown fetish.
Yeah, definitely. I found it interesting in the Cambridge Dictionary. Sorry, it's the lawyer in me coming out. That they've had a thing saying it's a sexual interest in an object or part of the body other than the sexual organs.
Like it seems to make that distinction almost as a way of being like, oh, it's out, again, outside of the norm.
Yeah, so it's like you're sexualizing something that isn't
traditionally,
by definition, yeah. I did air quotations there, sexual.
Right? Yeah, yeah, exactly. So those are good things to keep in mind as we delve into this conversation. I was honestly like a little bit nervous going into this. I think as far as fetishes go, like leg and foot fetishism is probably the more well-known, well-established, maybe the least unusual.
It's kind of crazy. Like I didn't realize how common it was.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like a lot of studies are putting it, you know, in their surveys about half.
Yeah, totally.
Of the people. And the other thing I didn't realize before going into this was kind of how broad the range is of someone having a foot fetish. There's like so many different things that they can be into, which probably
are in this book.
Which probably explains why like I just thought that if it had been that common that I would have come across it personally.
But I also wonder like how something like wearing sexy stockings or like stockings with lingerie and like high heels is pretty like kind of mainstream sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
Air quotes around sexy in that. So I think like if you had an inclination towards that, you probably wouldn't even need to be like, I have a fetish.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
But yeah, I went into it a little bit nervous just because it's new waters for us, and I really wanted to keep an open mind, not just around like other people and what they like and all the kinds of things that people get aroused by, but also for myself. Like I didn't want to go into it being like, this is ridiculous, or just like, oh, this is something that I'm going to observe in a detached way. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to try to like read it and be like, Does this turn me on? And so like there was some points of self-discovery throughout reading this book, which was really interesting. So before I tell you any more about it, there's this in the very first, so it was published in 2006, and on the page where it's got all the publisher information, there's this little disclaimer that I thought maybe you might like to read.
This book is a work of fiction. In real life, make sure you practice safe, sane, and consensual sex. I mean,
it could probably be more prominent, I think.
It could be more prominent.
So that made me giggle. I read that and I was like, oh my god, what am I in for with this book? So the entire like premise of this book is this man who is speaking to his therapist, which immediately brings us into this like pathology.
Yeah.
Kind of,
yeah, definitely.
Which I found really interesting.
Do you think the author's into fate? I mean, why would you write a book?
Having read this, like if not, they are very patient with writing very like meticulous detail about fate.
Okay.
Something else that's really interesting about this book is that it is from an entirely male perspective, and I mean, it could well be written by someone of any gender, but it is purported to be by a man. So
also wonder about like the gender divide of foot fetishism.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything that was like concrete on that.
Yeah,
except some just like hand waving, being like, yeah, men like it more.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And I'm like, that's interesting. And also, why? I mean, not to pathologize them, but like, if there does have a gender skew, like, there's got to be a reason behind that, right? Like,
surely.
But yeah, I couldn't find much.
Yeah, me neither. But yeah, so I kept that in mind while I was reading that it was written by a man from a male perspective. And I just like kept being like, who is this for? Like, is this for, if most people who have foot fetishes are men, are they reading this? Given that most erotica and romance, as we know, most erotica and romance literature is read by predominantly by women. And it just felt like an interesting like crossroads that we haven't really dealt with before.
Yeah, definitely.
So the entire book is his therapy sessions, where he's just relaying stories and experiences to his therapist about his fetish. Essentially, like, he feels like it's gotten to the point where it's interfering with his life. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, is seeking help in that area, I guess. So
would you like to hear some treatments for fetishes by psychologists?
Oh no. Yes, I do.
So, variety of treatments, relaxation.
Wait, are these new or old?
Old. Okay. Well, like, I think around post-World War II-ish.
Yeah. Okay.
I read an article called Secrets of the Sexual Fetish, How Sin Became the New Normal, which was essentially about how in the 1780s it's like considered the heyday of English flagellation, and they had like
the heyday.
Yeah, and they had like flagellation boudoirs run by sex workers who would whip men. And then in the 18th century, you know, we see relatively similar to nymphomania, people being like, sex is out of control and this is immoral and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So then it started becoming a lot more kind of hush hush.
Yeah.
And a psychologist, Kraft Ebbing, published something in 1886, which is an encyclopedia of perversions with 237 case studies of unacceptable sexual practice.
This is unacceptable. You know what? I reckon he was probably fucking filthy.
Yeah, absolutely. But they have some things like relaxation procedures, scathing verbal attacks pertaining to fetishistic behavior.
Yell it out of them. Like, you're disgusting.
You're the worst. Hypnotic suggestion to induce nausea and a variety of drugs that would make people vomit while they listen back to them talking about their fetish.
So, and I think that was also often used in like
for like gay conversion therapy and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's no good. It's no, no good.
No good.
I don't think they're doing it anymore.
I mean, So, in it, he explores all kinds of things, and he opens up about all the different kinds of foot fetishes, from specific shape and size of legs, ankles, feet, toes, their smell, whether they're nude or whether they're adorned. Some are into stockings, some like leather, some like heels, some like sandals, blah, blah, blah. And he's sort of...
Is he just listing these off? He's just like, the psych's like, I just asked you how you were. And he's some like leather.
He like explores a lot of that throughout the entire book.
Right.
He himself, he's at one point, it's like, hosiery without transparency has no erotic value for me.
Heaven forbid that women want to be warm.
And then he goes on and he's like, we change, our fetishes evolve, sexuality is fluid. Now in my 40s, I can appreciate legs and feet bare or clothed, but prefer the latter. But curiously, fishnets, patterned hosiery, and opaque hosiery, no matter how expensive or exquisitely produced, leave me cold. So he gets into like really specific detail.
That's a lot.
And like,
so I'm already like, I don't care about you, sir.
Right? Like, so this is what I found interesting throughout the course of the book. It was a real roller coaster. Mm. Like, there were moments where I'd be like, oh yeah, this is filthy and I'm into it. Mm-hmm. And then it would be like pages and pages and pages of like very meticulous detail about feet and stockings in particular, nylons in particular. It's just like, ah. So what I learned there was probably don't have a thing for feet specifically.
Yep.
Just the sex Good around it.
My legs were shaking too much with my laughter. So like what you're saying is like, would probably be open to a foot job.
Probably.
I just don't understand the dexterity of it. I'd be open to...
Some of the
to...
women in this have do some crazy shit with their toes.
Well, this is the thing. I'd be like, I'd be open to giving it a try, but I would be really worried that I would kick them in the balls.
They might like that.
They might. Or, like, just... It would just be, like, to use a horrific phrase, throwing a hot dog down a hallway. But with my feet, because I couldn't get them close enough
but
together
the thing
to...
Is, like, how I interpreted the because there are a lot of foot jobs in this.
Right.
And by that point, he's already so aroused that, like, the idea of, like, needing to have, like, pressure
right.
on it.
It's about the feet. It's about the feet being near.
There's still, like, a friction for
yeah,
sure,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
like, you...
You don't need to work the feet.
I mean, they're working. So early on, though, like, there were all these moments that kind of, like, snapped me out of it. And I found it really challenging because I was like, I actually really don't have an issue if you've got a foot fetish or a leg fetish. Fine. But then there were moments where I was like, nah, nope, that's crossing a line for me. Like, really early on, like, page 8, he's confessing that I've taken pictures of women who never had any idea that they were being photographed, for example. And I was like, mm-mm.
You know, somebody caught me taking a photo of them without their permission the other day.
What were you doing?
He was walking 2 ferrets. He was walking them in halters.
Did
he? And I wanted to take a picture.
Did he, like, say something?
No, he turned around and I'm not good at taking pictures without it being obvious that
oh
I'm taking
God.
A picture. He turned around and then I put my phone down and I was like, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Anyway, sorry. Don't do it.
So the first story he tells his therapist is about this woman called Patricia, and I actually really liked Patricia. So what he runs a like a hosiery store called Sheer Delight.
Of course he does.
And he also has this library, like he's like a collector. So he collects like photos and videos and you know, hosiery itself and shoes and all interviews and all this stuff. He also runs a website called leglover.com.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about when you're saying he runs a hosiery store, I also read this article about a man who was put in prison, but he was called the Toe Suck Fairy.
Oh.
He was in
not
Arkansas.
Sure I like the name.
No,
there's
the
nothing
police
magical
could have
about
done
that.
Better. He was a man in Arkansas, and he pretended to work at, like, shoe stores to go up to women and then suck on their toes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the women, aside from the people that he just, like, pervs on in the street and, like, looks up their skirts and stuff and takes photos without their knowing. Aside
I mean,
from that.
Just because you didn't quite take a big break, but there is a big difference between perving on someone in the street and looking up their skirt. Can we?
That's true. That's true.
We'll just go on record
yes.
with that.
But other than that, like, all of the people he has sex with and whatnot, or, like, actually touches their feet, they're all
oh, that's good.
Willing participants.
That's good.
Enthusiastic, even.
That's good. That's good.
So he's interviewing this woman, Patricia, for his library, and she's telling him all about how she has a stocking fetish, and he's, like, fascinated by this because he's like, oh, this mystical woman who likes the same stuff that I like. She's, like, talking about how, like, she was young and, like, her parents wouldn't let her wear makeup or heels or whatever, and so she became, like, really obsessed with it.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. So many fetishes, the general idea is that fetishes are developed when you're a child.
Yeah.
And I did see it, some things talking about with foot fetishes. Maybe one of the reasons it's so common is because children, they deal more with feet They're lower to the ground. They see feet more often.
I guess that makes sense.
They're often playing under tables around their parents' feet. It's also, if you think about, like, tickling feet, that's mostly with children. You don't really do that with adults.
Unless you do.
Unless you do. So there is kind of that theory as to why it's so prevalent.
Yeah, right.
And the idea is not that, you know, you have some sort of massive trauma, but that can also establish a fetish. It's more just that things affect people in a different way, and maybe something happens when you're a child that then is something you think about as an adult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Patricia isn't allowed, so she becomes really obsessed with it. So she spends some time at her aunt's house, who lets her dress up in all of her fancy old clothes from, like, the 40s and shit. And then one day her aunt is out, and she, like, gets all dressed up, puts on all of this makeup, and then she just, like, goes to town on herself. And
goes to town like masturbating?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry, did I not make that clear? I did a hand gesture, but yeah. So this, like, stood out to me because there was the first bit in the book where I was like, damn, this is sexy. Oh,
again.
And I was like, oh, I'm so predictable. But, like, listen to this, right? So it's just like, looking at my face in the mirror, I thought I looked great. Real sexy, like a posh tart.
A posh tart.
Yeah, the language in this is interesting. Like, it's old. Like, it's published 2006.
Yeah.
But it's old.
Yeah.
And that's when it became sexual. I rubbed my clit with a fingertip and pinched my nipples hard. Just standing there, adoring myself in the mirror and wanking on my aunt's cushioned stool. And when I was close to coming, I made myself stop. And then she, like, goes on and she ends up getting herself off using the handle of a hairbrush.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, so this woman would, like, wear stockings underneath their clothes and sleep in them and, like, look for men who are into it, which is, as she explains, is, like, a pretty easy thing to find.
Mm.
But then she goes on, and I found this interesting. She was like, nude sex was all about love and bonding for me. I liked it if I was in love, but sex in stockings was about something else, about being the slut of my teenage dreams, the femme fatale, the seductress, the bad girl. And those fantasies were about variety, about fucking different men. I'm not very maternal, and it's really hard for me to fall in love. So I guess I was a bit like a horny guy more than a typical girl.
Blah.
Somehow, I just loved being ultra feminine, but I had a sex drive like a man.
Nope.
Weird.
Nope.
And there was so much of that in this, which is, again, I was like, I'm fine with the foot stuff, really. Yeah. But, like,
don't get me wrong, the foot stuff is good. It's good with me.
But it's shit like that.
Yeah.
That would snap me right out of it and be like, mm-mm.
Why does it have to be this way?
Yeah, right? But, I mean, I guess this book is also, like, it was obsessed with this idea of femininity and what it meant to be a well-presented woman, you know, very smooth skin, no hair, pedicured feet.
Yeah,
well, that makes like sense. That they would look at my feet and, like, recoil. so it's, like, really, like, fixated on the sort of hyper-femininity that comes with
Guess that's kind of interesting because you think about, like, stockings. And I do think of that in, like, a kind of hyper-feminine sense.
Yeah.
Probably less so now that I've seen more men in stockings who also look great.
When I googled nylon stockings earlier, because it's very specifically nylon that's...
Right.
Which is, like, the olden style.
Yeah, the ones that you got to keep up with a garter belt kind of vibe.
Yeah, like, they don't have as much elasticity. I googled them earlier, and the first image that popped up was a pair that had a little, like, penis part.
Oh, as the first option.
Yeah, well. And I was like, right on.
Yeah, cool.
Should we take a break?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So given that he's in therapy, he kind of like quite early on diagnoses himself. He's like, Freud would have maintained that I'm a sexual cripple, someone who has failed to fully develop into a well-balanced adult. That's page 9. So page 9, we have Freud.
We're dropping Freud at page 9. You know you're in for a good time. Ooh. Sorry, it rhymed.
Yeah. I liked it. It was good. So, like, obviously Freud has a thing or two to say about fetishes.
Freud
comes up in all kinds of places.
He's real into sex. You know, he was in the wave of medical kind of scientists that moved away from sin and towards like scientific justifications for why people are fucked up.
I don't know if there's anything really scientific about the things that he has to say. No. Though.
I mean, he pretty much said it's something to do with mothers.
Yeah, I can tell you actually. So Freud attributed fetishism as the adult consequence of the castration complex.
Yeah.
So I had to Google what the castration complex was. The castration complex is an unconscious anxiety that arises during development, and in males it's presented as a fear that the penis will be removed by the father in response to sexual interest in the mother. Because everyone wants to fuck their mum.
Yeah.
And in females, it's a compulsion to demonstrate that they have an equivalent to the penis, and they blame their mother on the lack of their penis.
Yeah. Oof, yeah, no, I personally feel the lack of penis every day.
You blaming your mum?
Every day. My mum. What did you do?
Sorry, mum.
I read this Vice article that was actually really, really funny. Highly enjoyed it, but there were some cracker lines, and one of them, it was written by a guy who has podophilia, but he kind of talks about it in general and says, Sigmund Freud noticed the frequent interest in feet and ascribed it to the notion that feet are, quelle surprise, a penis symbol.
Everything's a penis symbol. This microphone is actually very phallic.
It is a penis symbol.
So throughout the book, often other things will come up. Like there's actually quite a bit of like power play and like hints of BDSM. And I noticed that those were the bits as well that I was like, huh, this is good.
Yeah. So this is kind of another theory behind why some people might have foot fetishes is actually that it's like, there's no part of your body lower than your feet. And if you're like worshipping literally at someone's feet,
oh yeah,
there's a power imbalance in that as well.
I've never thought about it that way before.
Neither. And I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, foot fetishes can be a variety of things. It can be, you know, really liking massages and up to like sucking and licking, and then beyond that you have like the stinky feet stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is, you know, actually enjoying the smell of people's feet. Yeah. And then foot boys, who are the submissive worship at your feet dom sub kind of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's, I mean, like there's, I think it's like many things, it's not one size shoe fits all.
But this Vice article had this other brilliant line where essentially it starts with a friend of the author was having sex with someone, and he obviously had her legs over his shoulders,
obviously.
And kissed her ankles, and she like flipped out. Oh. And was like, stopped the sex. And was like, that's disgusting. Get out, right?
Wow. That, okay.
Yeah, I know. And he's kind of questioning that response and said, she seemed taken aback when I told her that I thought her response seemed harsh, given how often and how enthusiastically she talked about enjoying having her ass eaten for hours at a time.
Yeah. But weird disproportion. Like, was that wrapped up in stigma? Like, it seems very disproportionate.
Yeah, so that's kind of, I think, one of the things as well. You have this large percentage of people who are really into this, and then you have a large percentage, like quite a few people who feel comfortable being like, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think if somebody sucked on my toe without talking to me about it, I would be taken aback.
I'd certainly be surprised. And also I'd be like, I hope it's dark, because like yeah. my feet are gross. I have some mangled toes.
Yeah, see, I don't like aesthetically I don't hate my feet, but I've never really thought of them as a sexual positive.
I feel I want to show I'm going to show you.
I've seen your feet
before. Yeah, but like this, like what's going on with that toe?
I don't know, man. Maybe you should get it checked out.
Grubs.
But yeah, so then you've got this other kind of real emotional reaction to people being into feet, which is also really interesting that people find it so weird.
Yeah, like...
Because, like, it kind of stops... Because we accept that people can really like your hair, they can like your boobs, they can like, you know, girls fetishize guys' shoulders and their arms, ass, legs, but feet. Yeah. And to an extent, we even get hands. Like,
Some people have things for hands, yeah.
And then, totally. Like, there's a lot of, like, licking fingers and shit in
yeah,
sex.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Yeah. So why is it only feet that have this?
Yeah, I don't know. I find it really, like, especially if someone's... I'm in bed with someone and they will, like, casually, like, go for a spank or, like, try to, like, pull my hair or something, which, great if we've talked about it. Or, like... established that's okay. How is that mainstream but like anything to do with feet?
Yeah, I also like, I personally, I don't like people sucking on my fingers. Weirds me out.
Oh, why?
I don't know. I just like, ugh. No, I just don't like it. I feel about it the same way I do with someone just putting my toe in their mouth. Like, I'm just like, ugh, why do you feel the need to do that?
Yeah, okay.
So to me, the whole, like, feet are gross, blah, 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 like, I don't have a foot fetish. I don't think they're particularly sexy either, but I also don't think fingers are particularly sexy. So I'm like...
Actually, just hate humans. I think they're foul.
I mean, every part of their body is...
disgusting.
Fundamentally disgusting.
I just want to fuck a sentient cloud. That's all.
Is it too much to ask? I was born in the wrong century. I need to be born in 100 years when sentient clouds exist. I don't know. It's quite interesting to me. I did also read quite a few, like, what to do if you have a foot fetish. They essentially are like, you know, this is what it is, and if you have it, like, here are some ways to talk to your partner or talk to whoever about it.
It would be really fucking hard to have a fetish and to have to navigate that. I mean, you have to navigate all kinds of things with your sexual partners, but like with the added level of stigma around it,
yeah,
I think it would really be challenging.
It would be incredibly tough, and particularly if you're in a monogamous relationship and your partner doesn't share
totally
your fetish, you know, there's quite a lot there. But I went to our one of our favorite websites, askmen.com.
Oh, yeah.
And it was actually pretty good. I found it, the tips were pretty good, and yeah, it was okay. Very like, you know, it's not weird. It's not super weird. You just got to talk to them. And also, you know, people feel vulnerable about this stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's good.
There was this one line that was like, you know, how to broach it with your partner. And a lot of stuff was, you know, massage their feet and blah, blah, blah. And this one was like, give her a treat from time to time.
Like a dog. Train her.
In this regard.
Did Pavlov write this?
Give her a treat from time to time in this regard. Like new shoes. For many women, shoe collecting is the ultimate porn.
What? I mean, like, no.
But it did have this safety precaution, which I had never thought about. And this is going on the more extreme end of toe fetishism, where you enjoy being penetrated by toes and by feet.
I hope you clean your toenails.
And that was the thing that it said.
Oh, there you go.
I did not think about that at all.
Well,
fungal infections like athlete's foot can be shared through contact with the infected skin.
No.
Or even shoes that a person with the infection wore.
No.
So, that's a safety tip.
Oh, okay, let's do it back to the sexy stuff, shall we? His name is Algernon, by the way.
Like first name or last name?
First name.
Algernon.
Yeah.
Algernon. Sorry. How do you spell that?
A-L-G-E-R-N-O-N.
Is he an elf?
I mean, it would.
He's Are we in a really Middle short. Earth? Is he a hobbit? Is that why?
He can only see up to their knees. It's interesting. Like he likes women to be submissive, but he also wants them to be really powerful. Which is, we didn't really touch on this with BDSM and like dom sub relationships, but I actually quite liked that there was kind of like a nuance there around power and submission as well. I thought it was it came across a bit, which was kind of cool. So like he walks around the street and he kind of like admires people walking around, tries to look up their skirts, yada yada, you know. And I pulled out a few like lines. There was so much, but I pulled out a few lines.
Right.
So like, for example, I checked out her shoes, formal but shiny, nice. And a thin golden ankle chain glittered underneath her hose.
Who is Slut. Ankle chain? Whoa! Sorry, I was being judgmental, but then that was just...
Yeah, it caught me by surprise. Also, that's not comfortable. Take it off.
Yeah, also...
I mean, the word slut is used a lot in this, normally in the context of dirty talk, which I actually quite enjoyed. And it's pretty common.
Yeah.
But it was also often used...
Like, in his inner monologue is kind of different.
Yeah, exactly. And it came up in both. And it was like, ugh. Mm. And then another one is, a pretty Japanese woman in a tan suede skirt and matching high-heeled slingbacks skipped onto the street, and I found myself captivated all over again. Busy girl, face set with purpose and a hint of self-importance.
He sounds like a psychopath.
Oh, like, I mean, sounds like he's definitely... Yeah. Anyway, so he... At one point, he, like, is talking about his shop, Sheer Delight. He only hires women with legs and feet that he likes. And there's a strict dress code. And they're all expected to, like, be shaven and, like, pedicured and wear stockings and heels every day. The lower half of the walls in this shop are all mirrored. So that he can see, their legs from all angles.
Mm.
He's also sleeping with the manager, whose name is Samantha.
Does she have red hair?
No. She's a leggy blonde who has a, and in quotations, rare hyper feminine quality, who laughs at Algernon's jokes.
Oh no!
Yeah, I was like, fucking God. Samantha, get it. And at this point, I was like, and I need your genuine opinion here.
Would you laugh at Algernon's jokes? Probably not.
No, but like, do I have a basic bitch name?
Yes. But also, I have just like a bully's name. Like, very few girls named Abby are nice people, myself included. Like,
yeah. Anyway, so he's sleeping with the manager. He's also fantasizing about all the other staff that work there.
And oh, he sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Oh, yeah. He gets, like, really possessive about the girls. Like, at one point, one of them says that she's seeing this other guy who happens to be a customer. And in his, like, inner monologue, he's like, ugh, some degenerate leg licker has been in here. Bastard, a fellow devotee has come in under the wire and burgled me. Like, what? You're being possessive and creepy, but also, like, why are you being so, like, looking down on other people who have got a leg thing? Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. But then there was, like, a really, like, quite a hot sex scene between Algernon and Samantha in the shop. And again, like, a lot of the sex scenes were actually, like, really quite erotic.
Mm.
But then it was all the stuff around it.
Really seems to be our problem. It's like, I like your sex scenes. I like where you're going with it. But if you could just make it easier to like you.
Yeah, totally. For example, there was this whole other bit where he's doing this photo shoot with these two queer women in, like, stockings and shoes and whatever. And it was, like, quite hot. Like, these two women were, like, going down on each other, like ripping through the stockings. And
oh, sorry. So this is not like a professional photo shoot for his store.
It's for his, well, defined professional. I'm sure he's got a very nice camera. It's for his website.
And that's how you define professional?
Well, oh, he's paying
sure,
them.
You have a good camera.
It's for his website, leglover.com. He's taking these photos of these women. It's like, it was all very sexy. And I was like, this girl-on-girl action is hot. I can ignore the fact that Algernon's there. and then he's like, a lion out of nowhere is like a male beast. I felt a strong desire to mate with these felines in my pride.
Oh.
And I was like, no, ruined.
Oh my God. I'm starting to think this is written by a man.
I mean... So, okay, so story-wise, it centers around his, like, obsession with this particular woman called the Nylon Dahlia. who is, as it turns out, and I only found this out because I read the Amazon comments.
Uh-huh.
People loved it. 5 stars all round.
Oh,
all
okay.
Men. Like, there were, like, 3 comments.
Oh. Okay, you should have left with the 3.
Yeah, okay. The Nylon Dahlia is actually based on Dita Von Teese. And so like throughout the entire book, he's just like frothing Dita Von Teese,
right.
Calling her things like the Empress of Seams or morbidly beautiful, the 1950s Gothic, a heartbreaker and tormentor of souls, siren and executioner.
Oh my God.
And so like he eventually meets her and they have again, like quite hot sex, except for the things that were like, ugh. But at one point, She ends up at his house and she's like looking through his records and then she ends up doing a strip tease to Wicked Game by Chris Isaak.
Yes. Yes. I've often felt like there should be more strip teases to Chris Isaak. Like just as a general rule.
I'll start planning for your birthday now, shall I?
Yes, that would be good.
So they have like quite a bit of sex and at one point he's fucking her while sucking on her toes, like her legs are up and he's
okay,
got his...
I feel like that would be the best position if
makes
you
sense.
Were into toes.
Logistically. So one thing that really stood out to me, especially having just spoken recently about 50 Shades of Grey and Tess of the D'Urbervilles, in here, there's a little like hat tip to... You'll never guess which author. Like you'll just never guess.
Okay, can I get a like time period?
Still alive.
Okay.
You like this author.
Oh, no. George Orwell.
No. It's a female writer.
Female writer, still alive. Margaret Atwood.
Yes! Yes. So, in his library, he's got a copy of The Handmaid's Tale.
Mm.
And... So the person he's showing around the library is like looking at all of these pictures of sexy legs and then sees a copy of The Handmaid's Tale and is like, this is confusing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is fair.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it's a novel with one of the best descriptions of sheer pantyhose I've ever read. And I was like, I don't remember that. So like, in terms of the plot, because I'm sure you're really keen to know exactly what happens.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, he's so many twists and turns.
He has this kind of like... bit of a one-sided relationship with the Samantha character who's really into it and like she's open to the foot stuff and she's up for it. Then the Nylon Dahlia swans in.
Classic.
And he's like, get the fuck out of here, Samantha. He just like obsesses over this Dita Von Teese-esque character. Ends up flying to LA. I think it's based in England. It was vague. Although it was
vague about geography, but very specific about the
I mean, priorities. Although, like, sometimes when the characters spoke, they'd be like,
what's up, governor?
That's kind of how I read it. They'd be like, I gotta get me stockings on.
Oh, like, right.
Something
yeah, right.
like that.
And then I gotta go sweep my chimney.
Anyway. So he flies to LA chasing the Nylon Dahlia. Is like super let down when he gets there and she's like, I'm not having a bar of it. You're boring now.
Yeah, basic.
And he like comes back and Sam's upset. And then he's like, so like he's in therapy, like having a real hard time because he has lost Samantha because his obsession ruined his relationship with Samantha. So, yeah. And at the end, right at the end...
Sounds like a real sad sack.
There's a reason why all the good bits, in my opinion, were really just either women wanking or women getting it on with each other. So, it was... Look, there were points where we were genuinely sexy, but it was...
terrible that the man involved was such a shit.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, to wrap up, because this is a highbrow kind of podcast and we need some highbrow content, I have some science.
Ooh. Yep.
So, again, looking at kind of theories behind foot fetishes, one of the theories posited is a neurological one. So, essentially, there's a few parts to it. Firstly, the fact that feet are so sensitive. So, there's like 7,000 and 7,200, I think, odd nerves in your feet. And as a...
is that why standing on one of those spiky balls is like...
yeah. yeah.
Okay.
And so, yeah, as a comparison, you know, the clit has 7,000. Obviously, the clit has a much smaller surface area than 2 feet. But still... a lot of nerves in there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the other thing is that they've found that the brain areas associated with genitalia and feet are adjacent to each other in the brain's body image map.
Yes,
so
okay.
For the brain, the feet and the genitals are actually very, very close together. One of the cool things, how this has actually come out, and the person who discovered this is a neuroscientist, Ramachandran. He was doing research into amputees with phantom limb.
Okay.
Which is essentially, for anyone who doesn't know, people who have accidents and have to have limbs amputated, but then feel as if they still have the limb. And one of the things that people reported for amputated legs and feet is that they could experience orgasms in their phantom foot.
Whoa, what? Humans are amazing. That's crazy.
Yeah, so sometimes when they were orgasming, they would feel sexual pleasure and orgasm in the missing foot. And so he was like, what's up with this? And had a look in and was like, oh, the brain puts them really close together.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's something there about people finding pleasure from their feet.
Huh.
So it actually makes a lot of... neurological.
Do you like a foot massage?
I love a foot massage.
Yeah,
And you know, it's kind of similar as like, you know, we've spoken about this when you go to the hairdresser and they give you a head massage. Ugh. And you're like, I'm sorry that I'm turned on right now.
Yeah.
Which I mean, you don't say to the hairdresser, but you're feeling it. And it's somewhat similar to a foot massage for me. Is it like, I'm kind of like, although...
oh, I would squarely put it within the realms of foreplay for sure.
Yeah, although, like, I feel that about massages in
that's
general.
True.
But only ones that hurt. I don't want a massage that's, like, just rubbing oil on me. No. So, interesting facts.
Yeah. My last final bit of science, there was a study in 2007, which... was essentially to try to establish the relative frequency of fetishes, which is really, really hard to gauge. There's lots of issues around trying to do any kind of studies in this space. So they essentially use internet data, searching through thousands of forums and things like that. And what they found was feet and toes came in at the highest at 47%, which is about what you said before. But then other things came up, like body fluids, like blood and urine, at about 9%. Body size, like particularly liking fat bodies, for example, about 9% as well. And then in terms of like objects associated with the body, so like your classic like stockings, skirts, 33%. Footwear, underwear, pretty comparable. And then stethoscopes, diapers, catheters, hearing aids, and pacemakers.
Yeah, medical fetishes are like a real thing. Sorry, what's the percentage?
Oh, less than 1%.
Oh.
But it's but like enough to make the chart.
But yeah, and it's a big thing in kink.
Yeah.
It's probably I have a Wartenberg wheel. What is? Which I don't know if I've actually shown you.
Yeah, the spiky wheel. Yeah, I've been watching Masters of Sex recently, and like a whole big part of that because they are studying sexual response. So they're like researchers, and they like hook people up to all of the equipment, and then like watch them have sex and like time their orgasms and stuff.
Yeah, right.
This is such an overshare. Watching that, I was like, oh, it's kind of like the thought of like being in an experiment is kind of really hot.
Does it?
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's, I didn't expect that. There you go.
Probably definitely depends on what kind of experiment. But yeah.
Probably, yeah. And probably also it's like tied into like
watching,
being watched, that kind of.
Yeah, definitely.
So much self-discovery happening.
Yeah.
With everyone listening. All of you.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.